Good morning. Notice how the air conditioner's working this morning, right? Right. Now get this. As Rick and them was telling me, they said that there was not enough power coming into the church because there was a wire broke. Am I right, Rick? So we weren't getting the full power that we should have got to run the air conditioner. You know what? I got to thinking about that. You know what? Isn't that the way that some of the church world is today? You know what? We're not getting the full power that God wants us to have through His Holy Spirit. It's no wonder things are the way that they are, especially in the churches today. Praise God. We need to get hooked up directly to the source and get everything that we can get. Amen? Amen. I'm going to be over in Ezekiel, but first I'm going to be over in Ezekiel 22nd chapter. You can turn there. First I'm going to read something else, and you've all heard this scripture before. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And you know what? That's so true. But you know, notice something about that before I get into the sermon I want to preach about today. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now I'm not a very bright man, but I can tell you right now, you had to have faith first to get depart from it, amen? And the world tells me out there today, and they show me out there today what's going on out there today. One thing that my wife failed to mention when we was listening to the news, that after the big vote over in Ireland took place and they voted what they did, that the Catholic Church, the Archbishop over there, come back and said, well, we're going to have to rethink how we do things now. And I'm going to tell you right now, as long as Dave Long is able to preach the Word of God, I'm not rethinking that issue. I'm not rethinking it. We're going to love, we're going to continue to love no matter who they are, but I'm going to stand upon God's Word. Because I know that today we are living in the last days. And you know what? I tell you this, I'll probably continue to tell you this. It is going to grow worse and worse and wax worse and worse. Batten down the hatches. Get ready, for I do believe that we are in the last days, and I believe we've been there for a while. And you know what we need? As they call this a segue, we need people to stand in the gap. Amen? We need it. Let's turn to Ezekiel 22 and 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But you know what he said? He said, I found none. He said, I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Let us pray. Fathers, we come, Lord, this morning. I come, Father, just asking you, Lord, to give us the message today. Lord, help us to understand what it means to stand in the gap, Lord. Help us, Father, to be that person that is willing to stand in that gap. And, Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. And amen. Amen. Tomorrow we celebrate Memorial Day. For many, it's a time for picnics. For many, it's a time for ball games, a day off work. You know what? Maybe the first day on the lake or first day on the river. I don't know, however you celebrate it, that's fine. But the reason for the holiday, I believe, is very important. I believe it's very important. It's a day to stop and honor and remember those who have passed, or loved ones who have passed on, and especially those who have died in serving this country. Am I right on that? That's what it was first brought out to be. You know what? And we need to continue to remember them. We can go to the graveyards tomorrow and we can place flowers upon them graves without worrying about being beheaded or worrying about, you know, a suicide bomber coming up to us. So far we can. You know, so far we can. But you know what? As we drive around this country that we live in today, you know what? The little towns and the big cities that we live in, I want to tell you something. You can find memorials to our heroes everywhere. You know what? They just recently built something down in Sandyville, if I'm not mistaken, down at the grave, down at the Independence Road down there. They built like a memorial to the veterans. Amen? I would like to share a story with you this morning about a hero that's come back from back in the 1940s, World War II. Then I'll get into the rest of my sermon this morning. He's a guy by the name of Butch. And Butch was a fighter pilot, and he was stationed on the USS Lexington. And he was in the Pacific Ocean. His whole squadron was sent out. The whole squadron off that fleet was sent out to go on a mission. And Butch was part of them. As they started out and they got out through there, partway out through there, Something happened to his fuel. Either they didn't top the fuel off, or the fuel gauge was bad. They did not know what was going on. But you know what? His squadron leader told him to turn back because they didn't want to take a chance that he would not be able to make it back to the fleet. So Butch takes and goes, reluctantly, he takes and peels off from the rest of his group, and he's flying back towards the Lexington. On his way back then, he runs right into a squadron of Japanese Zeros heading right for the fleet. This is a true story. He was heading right for the fleet. He said he was too far away from the planes, his squadron, to call them back, and he wasn't close enough to get a hold of the Lexington to tell them what was coming. So what's Butch do? He starts in and starts fighting a whole squadron by himself. There must have been 12 to 24 planes, they said, that he was fighting. In and out of them, he dove until every bit of his ammunition was gone. Every bit of it. Did that stop him? No. He started hitting their tails. He started hitting their wings with his plane, trying to destroy as many of them as he could. Finally, that squadron of Japanese Zeros turned and went, and he went on to the Lexington. He made it. After whenever he got there, he told them about it, but you know what? They had a camera on the front of his airplane that proved just exactly what he did. Oh, yeah. A year later, in 1943, he died in a battle. But his hometown wouldn't let it go. He stood in the gap. And this is what I want to try. He stood in the gap because he knew the lives that were going to be lost. This is why I call them part of the greatest generation. Do you understand it? My heart breaks, but I know this. People may not think, but I call them the greatest generation for a reason, for what those people did. But anyway, he went back to his ship. The cameras on the airplane, they showed just exactly what he'd done. And like I said, a year later he died. His hometown made a memorial in his name. And I know you probably have all heard of it. It's called O'Hara International Airport in Chicago. Butch O'Hara. That's the guy that did that. He did that. And you know what I said? You know what? I believe Butch has something in common with for anybody that's willing to stand in the gap. You know what? They are dedicated, and they believe in what they're fighting for. And I want to tell you something here this morning. As Christians, are we dedicated enough? Are we willing to stand upon what we believe in no matter what? Are you willing to take on what the enemy's trying to fire at us? Are you willing to do that? Because I'm going to tell you, it is getting worse and worse and worse, and we are going to have to stand together wherever we can, however we can, we're going to have to stand together. Our scriptures this morning is just one of many verses to speak about standing in for something, standing up for something. We've got to be willing. You know, there was a song out years ago, and I believe it was a country western, if you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You know, and I believe that this morning. We have to stand for something. We've got to stand upon our Christian background of what God has taught us from little children up to stand and fight for what's right, because if we don't, we're going to lose. We're losing our generation very fast. We're losing them. The prophet Ezekiel is writing to the people of Israel. He's warning them about what will happen if they don't turn back to God and if they continue to worship and obey Him. If you read that chapter 22, he catalogs it out very good. He talks about their sin of adultery, of bloodshedding. He talks about immoralities, extortions. He talks about various people that are doing it. It isn't just one group. He talks about every person of every bit of society of what they were doing. That's why he said in verse 30, "But I found none." He couldn't find anybody who was willing to stand in the gap and take and fight for what was right and what was wrong. Do I believe we're at that point yet? No, I do not believe we're at that point yet, because I believe there are people there who are willing to fight. But can you agree with me that it is getting less and less and less as time goes by? God's looking for someone to stand who's willing to stand up, stand in the gap, stand for what's right, for what they believe in, be the hero that is needed. I sought, he said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. Listen to me. The walls would be broke down. The walls could be destroyed. And you know what? He was wanting people. He was wanting someone just to stand in the gap and stand there and try to hold up a standard for what was coming. My goodness, they couldn't find none. Can you believe that? None. And I read that scripture and I got to thinking about that. That broke my heart. That no one was willing, not one individual was willing to stand up and say, listen, hey God, I'm here for you. I will stand and proclaim your word loudly and proudly that I am a Christian, that I love Jesus and I believe what the Word of God says. Ezekiel sought that. God was seeking it. You know what? He couldn't find it. The people of Israel turned from God. They turned away from God. They had become a people of sins, what they'd done. All they cared was satisfying in their own desires and feeding their own appetites. Again, does that not sound familiar? Does it not sound familiar in this day and age we live in sometimes? That's all this is about. They had enjoyed freedom. They had enjoyed peace as long as they were living and living in God's will. They had all these things given to them. Am I right? If you read back through the history of Israel, they had all this stuff. That is sad. But they found none. They had found none. After all that had been said and done, they could find none that would be willing to stand in the gap. You know what? They've been given their freedom out of Egypt, out of bondage. We know what happened there, how God miraculously brought them out and safely through the desert and even brought them to the land of milk and honey. I know there were some difficult times there, but eventually God stood upon His promise and He brought them to where they went to the land, the promised land that He promised them. He made them a mighty nation. Am I right? Is any of this stuff sounding familiar to you? Is it not sounding just like what has happened to this country? God has made us a mighty nation. His hand of protection has been upon us. I'm not standing up here telling you something you haven't heard before, but I think it needs reiterated time and time again that if we keep letting Him down and no one's standing in the hedge and no one's willing to fight for Him, His hand of protection is slowly coming off of us. They have squandered the rights that God had given them. You know what? Listen to the Declaration of Independence. I believe it's what our framers wrote. I love this, and you guys know it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal. They are endowed by their what? Their Creator. With certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Jewish people had these same God-given rights to them. They did. They had them. But you know what they did? They ended up squandering them away. And I'll tell you what, we are doing it in this country. He made a great nation of them, but they lost it because they were unwilling. There was no one willing to stand in the gap and stand up and preach God's word with truth and with power. I'll tell you, just like that power line coming into this building, there's no way that we could run and all the power that needed to be run with what was taking place out there. No way. And I'm going to tell you what, unless the church gets a hold of the power source and keeps a hold of it, there's no way that we can see people saved, see people's lives turned around, see things happen because we're getting away from the power source. Listen, folks, as a matter of fact, you know what? I don't just believe we're heading down that path. I know we're heading down that path. It's not something I believe it. I don't just think it. I know we're heading down that path. As a nation, we are losing our Christian heritage. I believe I told you this here a while back. You know where the center of Christianity is going to be within the next 10 years? Africa. There's more people getting saved over there now than anywhere else in the world. More people turning their lives over to Christ over there than anywhere else in the world. There's a reason, folks. There's a reason, because we don't have the power source anymore that we once did. The power source is going where God can work and where God can do what He needs to do. And unfortunately, I'm afraid we're losing it. On January 20th, 2009, there was a full-fledged frontal assault on Christianity. You can look it up. I don't have to tell you what happened. January 20th, 2009. Although it's been boiling under the surface for years, I'm going to tell you what, and slowly chipping away at people's lives, I want to tell you something. It started back when they took prayer out of school. Abortion rights come through. Assisted suicide. And now the gay marriage issue. Have I missed anything? And you know what? It's come right on through. And we've not sat back. We tried to fight it as best we can. But eventually it's all happened, has it not? And we think that God is not taking His protecting hand off of this nation. I can see it. I can see it. We're becoming so concerned that we're not to offend anymore. You know what? That we've let our faith be trampled underneath the guise of tolerance is what we've done. We've let our faith do that because you know what? We're afraid to stand up and say what we believe that the Bible says because we're afraid that we're going to hurt somebody's feelings out there. I tell you, it's getting sad. It's getting sad. Very sad. Folks, we need to continue to have the heroes to stand in the gap for our faith, to model Christian faith. You know what? And to be prepared to defend our faith whenever it happens. Oh yeah, there's men like John Hagee. There's men like Franklin Graham out there and Charles Stanley. And I could go on and on and name a few of them that are willing to stand up and preach God's Word. Have you ever listened to John Hagee? And how many of you have ever heard John Hagee preach? Oh yeah. He don't back down from it. He doesn't back down from it whatsoever. And you know what? Praise God for that. And yes, there are still those standing the gappers. There you go, Julie. There's a word, a Dave word for you. A gapper. Stand in the gap. You know what? You know what? And not only that, there are local preachers who are willing to do that also. Keep praying. Keep praying. Because you know what, though? Folks, not only the preachers is what I want to say to you this morning. I want to talk to you this morning also. You can stand in the gap. God's calling you to stand in the gap. Do it in love. Do it in patience and in love. But whenever the opportunity arises, don't back down and feel that, you know what? I'm going to take a back seat because I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. Or I'm going to offend somebody. I would rather offend somebody than see them spend an eternity in hell and let me stand or you stand because you had the opportunity to talk and you did not talk. You know, the Bible tells us we will all stand before the Lord one of these days and give an account of every word, every idle word we've ever said. Does it not say that? Amen. There comes a time when we have to speak up. There comes a time when we have to talk. I'm not talking about you going to work and throwing all caution to the wind. But there are opportunities that God will give you. And whenever He gives them to you, we need to be bold about speaking up. We need to be bold about talking about them. We need some heroes to stand in, am I right? We talk about losing our generation, talking about raising our kids in the way that they should be raised. Listen to me. What better way than to, you know, like it was said here this morning, listen to me. We have got to not only tell them, we got to show them how to live this thing. And if it takes us having a spiritual backbone, we need to get a spiritual backbone. Amen? We need to get it. The Apostle Peter tells us how to do this. If you would, turn with me over to 1 Peter 3, 13 through 17. I may start in 12. Verse 12. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter, beginning with verse 12. I'll give you a second to get there. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that speaketh you, a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Let me stop right here for a second before I go on. How many of you have hope in here this morning? You can raise your hands. Do you have hope in here this morning? Amen. If you've got hope, He tells me that you should be speaking about that hope that you got and how that you got it. Amen. Amen. Praise God this morning. You know what? reason of the hope that is in you, without meekness, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you of your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Peter's telling us right there how to do this, how to stand in the gap. He's telling us this. Praise God this morning. We don't have to back down, do we not? We don't have to take. He writes it. He said in verse 4, he writes that we should not be afraid of threats, that we should not, from unbelievers, but be strong and be courageous. Verse 15 tells us to be ready. It says to explain our faith, be ready to share it with anyone. This hope that you and I have, we can share it. We can do that. We must tell them. We must have the same attitude. We must have the same attitude as the little boy that was drawing in his kindergarten class. And this is his teacher asked him what he was drawing. He said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And his teacher said, "Well, no one knows what God looks like." And he replied back to her, "They will when I'm done." Listen, the only way they're going to see God is for you to explain it, and they'll understand who God is once you're done, right? If you've got that hope, if you've got that in your heart to do it, listen to me, just like that little kid, you can explain what God is about, what God means to you, what He's done for you in your life. My goodness, I hear the testimonies around here. I hear what God, I love his testimony, how he was in jail one night and God dealt with him and God saved his soul and God brought him up. What a witness! What a testimony! And others in here, how that God has blessed you and with how that he saved you and how he brought you out of the pits that he brought you out of to where you are now. My goodness. If you don't have any hope, don't say nothing. Right? If you don't have any hope, don't say anything. You're exactly right. I'm telling you what, I've got hope this morning. Have you seen this thing on Facebook? My hope's not in an elephant. My hope's not in a donkey. My hope's in the Lamb. Amen. Don't hope for this world here to make it better for you. Don't hope for a government to come in and rescue us. But I'm kind of, I get kind of, oh well, I better go on. Change has come, all right, and you can see it. I want to tell you something here this morning. We need people to stand in the gap. Amen? Amen. We need people willing to stand up and say, "Lord, you are still God in my life. I'm going to present you out there. I'm going to show you to this lost and a dying world." 70% of them may vote for homosexual marriage, but you know what? I'm still going to stand upon you. I'm going to still say, you know what? God loves you. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I'm going to do. How about you? Are you willing this morning to stand in the gap? You know what? Are you willing to stand for what is right? I believe one verse of Scripture. I quote this sometimes, but I know I always get it wrong, but you know what? Though a multitude go to do evil, though a multitude go to do evil, he says, he tells them, don't you do it. The multitude going after evil, don't you do it. You stand with God. They come and get a song this morning.